John.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين في بيوت أذن الله أن يرفع ويذكر فيها ويذكر في اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
ان آیات کا ترجمہ ہے کہ ایسے گھروں میں جن کے متعلق اللہ نے اذن دیا ہے کہ انہیں بلند کیا جائے
with regard to which Allah has ordained that they be exalted and that His name be remembered in them. Therein is He glorified in the mornings and the evenings by men whom neither merchandise nor traffic diverts them from the remembrance of Allah and the observance of prayer and the giving of the zakat. They fear a day in which hearts and eyes will be agitated, so that Allah may give them the best reward of their deeds and give them increase out of His bounty. And Allah does provide for whomsoever He pleases without measure. Today, Allah the Almighty has enabled the Jamaat Ahmadiyya New Zealand to build a purpose-built mosque. May Allah, the Exalted, allow for this mosque to be blessed in every respect for the community. The New Zealand Jamaat is a small community. Elders and youth combined, they consist of 400 members. Despite this, they have made an excellent and very beautiful mosque. The capacity of the mosque outstrips the numbers of the members of the Jamaat. May Allah, the Almighty, enable for this mosque to rapidly outgrow its capacity. Many of the workers worked with great endeavor day and night. I have been told that many of the members of the Jamaat worked without regard of whether it was day or night. They worked with great enthusiasm, endeavor, and passion here. As is our tradition, they work themselves and therefore enable for costs to be saved. In total, combining the mosque, the hall, and everything else, approximately 3.5 million New Zealand dollars was spent on this mosque. Out of this, 3.1 million was spent on the mosque, whilst the remaining amount was spent on the kitchen and the rest of the renovation work, etc. As the Jamaat here is small in number, they could not promptly raise such a large amount for the expenditure, nor could they fulfill the promises, for which reason they had to take a loan. However, I hope and expect that the members of the Jamaat will, inshallah, God willing, rapidly repay this loan. Because this year, the Jamaat here has now been established for 25 years. It was a keen and intensely fervent desire, and I believe this would certainly have been true, that they had this keen desire, that despite being small in numbers, they desired to most certainly present a gift of a mosque to God the Almighty. That in the shape of building a mosque, they should present this gift to God. Remember, therefore, that this enthusiasm with which you presented this gift to God the Almighty should not be in the form of a loan. Rather, you should give heed to making efforts to repaying this loan as quickly as possible, this is so that you can become those who present a pure sacrifice as rapidly as possible. The loan was taken by the Jamaat with this expectation and with this good impression of the members of the Jamaat here, that through the sacrifices of the members of the Jamaat, that the mosque would be constructed to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, albeit if the sacrifices are even given later. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "A person who makes the house of God in this world will be made a house by God in paradise." So who would not wish for God's paradise? Who would not desire for a house in heaven? Most certainly, no Ahmadi could ever think that he should not attain the pleasure of Allah. No Ahmadi could ever not wish to receive a reward in the shape of a house of Allah the Almighty in paradise. We find this beauty of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya everywhere in the world, that in financial sacrifices, its members strive to excel one another. In this era, the passion which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, created within his companions of financial sacrifice, so that the message of Islam can be conveyed to the corners of the world. Observing this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, stated that there is boundless devotion and sincerity, and that observing the love is astonishing. We find that even today, 100 years later, this condition still prevails within the members of the Jamaat. Irrespective of the fact of where any Ahmadi is from, they all exceed in devotion, sincerity, and loyalty. Out of the current total number of the members of the Jamaat, over 60% consists of those who have come here from Fiji. Approximately 30% are those who are Pakistani migrants. The remaining are people from different countries. Although this is a small Jamaat, it consists of people from multifarious nations. Each and every single person, in sincerity and devotion, strives to excel one another. We should, however, remember that to only demonstrate outward sincerity and devotion or temporary sacrifice of time or finances is not enough for a true mu'min, a true believer. Rather, working with a permanent and constant endeavor and treading on the path of righteousness and piety, and always remembering the purpose of his creation, is and should be the splendor of a true believer. Allah the Almighty has reminded us regarding the purpose of our creation. There is a need for us to keep this in view. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had says in this regard by way of reminder. People of different natures or temperaments, as a result of their lack of knowledge or lack of courage. That is to say, if one lacks perception or understanding, or has little courage or determination, as a result of which he sets up different aims for his life. They only follow the worldly objectives and worldly desires and stop there. However, that objective and purpose which Allah the Almighty has mentioned in His holy words is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have not created the jinn and the men but that they may worship me. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the spirit and essence of this verse shows that the real purpose and objective of a person's life is the worship of Allah, to understand and perceive Allah, and to give oneself up completely for God. We need to thus bear in mind that after entering into the Jamaat of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wa salam, to give some sacrifices out of temporary passions or fleeting emotions is not our purpose. In fact, our objective is to worship Allah the Almighty in a constant and permanent fashion. The standard of worship is attained at that point when one acquires perception of Allah. It is when one comes to possess the knowledge that Allah the Almighty is the possessor of all powers. It is when one learns that Allah is watching over my every word and deed. Not only is Allah watching over it outwardly, rather Allah the Almighty sees to the depths of one's heart. God is even aware of my intention, which has not even been manifested yet. When this state prevails a person, it is then that he can say that he is truly making an effort to become holy for God. In other words, no act should be performed only to fulfill a worldly desire. Rather, every effort that one makes and every virtue that one performs should only be for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah. We should not limit our worship to only that time when we are in need of the help of God. We should not limit it only to when we are in some difficulty or when our worldly requirements are not being fulfilled. In fact, our worship should also be carried out in times of comfort, ease and affluence. It should not be the case that worldly pursuits, worldly tribulations and worldly business and affairs should make us unmindful of the worship of God. This mosque should not remain limited to just a mere structure or building. The expanse and the beauty of this mosque should not only remind us of how much time we have spent towards the construction of the mosque, how much labor we contributed towards the mosque, how much money we enabled to be saved, or how many hours we gave towards Wakari Amal, or how much chanda or financial contributions we gave to this mosque. Rather, this building and this mosque should remind us that constructing a mosque in this world will enable us to receive in the world to come that reward of Allah the Almighty, through which Allah the Almighty will build us a house in paradise. A house of this type will be built at that point, when once it is constructed, its right and dues are also fulfilled. A right of a mosque is fulfilled when this injunction of Allah the Almighty is acted upon, included in these verses of the Holy Quran which I recited at the outset. Allah the Almighty states in it, لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ, that true believers of Allah the Almighty are those whose trade, whose business or whose merchandise does not make them negligent. What does it not make them negligent from? It says, an zikrillah, from the remembrance of Allah, from observing the prayer, and from giving the zakat. We Ahmadis, therefore, must become those true believers who possess these qualities. There was an existing Salat or prayer center here established. However, there is an apparent difference between a center and a purpose-built mosque. The center is a hall, The mosque includes a dome and a minara. From the name of the mosque itself, a distinct sanctity altogether emerges. When on my first tour here, I said to you to build a purpose-built mosque. The purpose of this was that one, the minara and the dome of the mosque should constantly be a reminder to you that you must fulfill the right and due of the mosque that you have constructed after sacrificing your wealth and your time. And secondly, that the minara and the dome of the mosque should also draw the attention of the people in the surrounding areas. Through this, the paths of preaching would also open up. People's attention would be drawn in this direction. And in search of finding the true picture of Islam, people would come, or people would come generally, for inquiry to see what kind of Muslims and people we are. Until now, I have seen that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, with the construction of a mosque, the introduction of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community increases manyfold. As a result of this introduction, further attention is given to fulfilling the rights of the mosque. Those living here will be those who fulfill the right of the mosque. The members of the Jama'at do and should pay attention to the fact that they must fulfill this right. What is the right of a mosque? The first right of a mosque is that one's trade, one's business, one's engagements should not make him negligent from the remembrance of God. In fact, one's trade and business should direct one's attention towards prayer and remembering God. When the sound of Hayya al-Salah is heard, that, O people, come to prayer, then one should forget his trade and business altogether. Instead, one should rush towards the mosque. Now, in this era, some people may state that the distances are large. The adhan, the call to prayer, is done within the mosque, for which reason the sound of it is not heard. Even today, the adhan, the call to prayer, was so low that it was barely audible in the hall. So someone may state what should be done in this case. So, for this, one should anyhow always be in the realization that we have built this mosque for the purpose of fulfilling the right of the worship of God. It is so that one can recognize the purpose of his creation. Secondly, as I have stated many times before, that in the present era, every single person goes around with a mobile or cell phone in his pocket. So you should also utilize this in the best manner. At the prayer times, the alarm should ring in the sound of the azan. Those who are near to the mosque should come to it. Those who are far from it, they should offer their prayers and give attention towards it. When in your places of work, you are mindful of your prayers and offer them, then the attention of the people around you will be drawn, and they will start to think of who you are. Then the structure of the mosque itself will become a means of introduction. You will then invite your friends to come to the mosque. As such, you will be remembering God the Almighty, and it will begin a series of conveying the message of Allah the Almighty to others. In this manner, a series of performing virtues will bring you nearness to God. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, cultivated this revolution within his companions. In these verses, Allah the Almighty is in fact referring to the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would conduct business running into its millions. However, their hearts were always immersed in the remembrance of God. They always remained fully attentive and focused upon prayers. They remained constantly mindful of giving financial sacrifices. To produce this very revolution in this era, Allah the Almighty has sent the true servant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you strengthen your connection with God the Almighty, that you safeguard and protect your prayers, that you purify your deeds and actions, give financial sacrifice. I often say the following, and the history of the Jamaat as well as the conduct of its members tells us that in financial sacrifices, the Jamaat with the grace of the Almighty Allah is exceeding, is progressing, and their attention is constantly fixed upon it. However, there is a great need to give attention towards the observance of prayer. There is still a huge necessity to establish the standards of worship. So therefore, you need to also give heed towards this. You must fill the mosques. One will truly observe the prayer when it is performed in congregation. This is actually the purpose of a mosque, that here prayer should be carried out in congregation. Allah the Almighty has stated that a true believer has greater concern for the world to come over and above this life. When a person reaches an elderly age, he becomes acutely anxious and concerned. He cries and he prays, and he also requests for prayers that pray that we face a good end. Allah the Almighty states that this state of a true believer does not form at his elderly or lost age. In fact, his attention towards Allah the Almighty, his focus towards worship, and his efforts to purify his actions and deeds are also carried out in his youth and in times of ease and prosperity. They also remember Allah the Almighty when they are young and in times of comfort. Morning and evening, they remember God. And they do so for the reason that the fear of the hereafter is always in view. Their hearts are always trembling. As I stated, this is a depiction of the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is this very state and condition which the promised Messiah alayhi salam came to bring about within us. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has stated, "My heart is constantly immersed in agitation and anxiety, that Allah the Almighty may also enable our Jamaat to be blessed with the rewards of the companions. May that sincerity, truthfulness, and obedience be developed within them, which was found in the companions, that they should come to fear no one except God, that they should be righteous, because the love of Allah is with the righteous. أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah is with the righteous. So if you want to receive the rewards and blessings of Allah, if you want to include your homes into such homes which are exalted by God the Almighty, then you would also have to immerse your homes with the remembrance of God. You would also have to constantly hold the fear of God the Almighty in your hearts. The fear of everything in the world and all trade and business and all other things in comparison to the fear of God should have no value or significance. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has repeatedly inculcated his Jamaat that develop righteousness and give precedence to God the Almighty over all else. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, Azur says that these are my words. However, in so many words, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that by following the world for a short-lived period, you may obtain temporary worldly gain. Even in this case, you will remain constantly agitated and anxious that may not this or that happen. However, if you remain ever in the search of Allah the Almighty and become completely His, you will obtain the faith and the world will also become subservient to you. You will receive God and you will also obtain the world. As I have mentioned, the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted business running into its millions. Despite this, they never forgot their worship. They never forgot zikr-e-ilahi, the remembrance of Allah. They never became unmindful of being fearful of God. So we, therefore, who have come into the bayt, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and who say that we will bring about righteous reformation within, such changes will only be beneficial and will only be permanent changes at that point, when all of this is done in the true sense. This should not be mere lip service. This should not just be words from our mouth. Because Allah the Almighty states that if you bring about these pious changes in the true sense, if you become one who treads on the path of righteousness, you offer your prayers on time, and you do so only for the sake of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and all other actions you perform are purely to please God, then in the sight of God you will receive reward. You will obtain worldly as well as spiritual provisions. God the Almighty has not said that do not carry out any worldly business or trade. In fact, what Allah the Almighty says is that you should never forget the remembrance of God. It should not be the case that as a result of your worldly business and trade, you waste your prayers and you forget the purpose of your creation. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said in one place that if this is the case, that you are forgetting your prayers, and you are immersed in materialism and in worldliness, then what is the difference between you and others? What is the point of the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance? Therefore, to exemplify this distinction clearly is our responsibility. If we consider ourselves to be a part of the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, we would have to make clear this distinction. This distinction will be made evident only then when our every act and our every deed are conducted purely in line with the pleasure of Allah. It is when we come to possess the fear of Allah in our hearts. It is when we look greater to the life to come than this world. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has expounded this most clearly in the following manner. The promised Messiah states that remember, perfect servants of Allah are those people regarding whom it is said, لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله, that they develop a true connection of devotion with Allah the Almighty, and as such, He is never separated from God. This state can be understood in the following manner, as if one's child is ill, wherever that child may go, whatever task that child becomes engaged in, his attention and focus will remain upon the child. In this same manner, he who develops a true connection of love with Allah the Almighty, he will never forget God, whatever condition he may be in. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, the faith and the world cannot combine together in one place. This is absolutely correct. But the promised Messiah says that, remember this also, we do not say that a farmer abandons his farming or a trader or a business person abandons his trading, or an employee abandons his employment, or a business person terminates his business, and he just sits there idle and does no work at all. Rather, we say, لا تلحيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله should be implemented. That the hands should carry out their works and endeavors, and the hearts should be constantly focused towards God the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, a trader in his trade, a farmer in his farming, a king on his throne or on his state. In short, whatever task one has to do, one keeps God as his objective and purpose. And whilst keeping in mind God's greatness, God's authority, and abiding by whatever God has enjoined and whatever He has forbidden, he does whatsoever He pleases. That is, whatever Allah the Almighty has commanded to be done, one should keep that in view. And whatever Allah the Almighty has forbidden to be performed, he should also keep those forbidden aspects before him. And he should make every effort to desist from carrying out those forbidden items. When one keeps the commands of Allah the Almighty in view, then a code of conduct will form. Then a person acts within this. By saying, do whatsoever you please, it means that there is no other path to take, that you will only tread on those paths that Allah the Almighty has outlined. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, fear Allah and do whatsoever you please. Where does Islam teach that abandon your business and trade, and like lame or incapacitated people, you should sit idle? And rather than serving others, that you should become a burden for others. Islam does not say to not carry out any work and to sit idle all day. You should remember Allah, but you most certainly must carry out work. The promised Messiah says, no, to be slack and lazy is a sin. What service of Islam and his faith would such a person be able to carry out? How would he possibly be able to feed his wife and children, whom Allah the Almighty has entrusted to him? Remember, therefore, that Allah most certainly does not will that you should entirely abandon the world altogether. In fact, the will of Allah the Almighty is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَقَّاهَا, that carry out your trade, carry out farming, carry out employment, and carry out your other tasks. Whatever field you go into, do whatsoever you please. However, constantly suppress yourself from disobeying God. Those people alone prosper who keep their selves pure. You should purify yourselves in a manner that whatever you do never makes you negligent to God. When this happens, your world will also become subservient to your faith. Your worldly employment, your trade, your business, or your employment will all become faith if your intentions are pious, and if you make a pledge to tread upon the commands of God. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states that man was not born for the world. If your heart is pure, and if this dedication, passion and zeal is always present, of how you can please God, then the world also becomes lawful for that person. إِنَّمَا الْأَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that actions are based on their intentions. So thus, this should be the state of every single Ahmadi. When you make the pledge that you will give precedence to your faith over worldly matters, this means that your world has become subservient to your faith, that you will not perform any such deed which is contrary to the will and pleasure of God. Fortunate, therefore, are those amongst us who think in this manner and who lead their lives accordingly. If this is not the case, then our bet of the promised Messiah alayhi salam will give us no benefit whatsoever, nor will our building of mosques give us any benefit. And as you are aware, the jalsa is being held in these days. So similarly, this jalsa will give you no benefit, because the promised Messiah alayhi salam has said precisely this, that this jalsa is no worldly festival or carnival. So the purpose of coming to this jalsa is to obtain the pleasure of Allah, to acquire religious knowledge, and to derive spiritual beneficence. Remember, therefore, as I stated, that with the construction of this mosque, you should cultivate pious changes within you to a greater degree than before. In addition, new avenues of preaching will inshallah open. Observing your practical example, there will be interest of people towards Islam. You therefore need to make an effort to act in accordance with the will of God. With respect to preaching, I would like to specially draw the attention of the Jamaat Nizam and the auxiliary organizations. Here, do not only rely on your traditional methods of preaching. Do not remain fixated by the fact that whatever you are doing is sufficient. In fact, for preaching, search for new and novel methods and means. Introduce Islam to the greatest degree possible. Now, the Quran has been translated in the Maori language. That has introduced the community. In the function 2 days ago, Maori language radio and TV has given this good coverage. So with the inauguration of the mosque, we will be introduced to a greater degree. So all these arrangements which Allah the Almighty has made, if we utilize them for the purpose of propagating the religion of God the Almighty, we would receive the pleasure of God. Therefore, today, where on the one hand, you will make a pledge to fulfill the right of your worship, there, on the other hand, through demonstrating high moral standards, you should act upon the commands of Allah. You should increase mutual love, mutual affection, and mutual cooperation. Then, also, introduce the people of this area to the true Islam. Strive to dispel the misconceptions that have been raised against Islam. Despite being in small numbers, if you have a firm determination, if you have firm resolution, then even small numbers can do a great deal. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to carry this out. This beautiful mosque that you have built would have also been seen by the Ahmadis around the world through the means of MTA. Ahmadis are also desirous and interested for the details of the mosque to be presented. So I should briefly give the details of this mosque. I've already mentioned the expenditure on the mosque, 3.5 million New Zealand dollars. The name of this mosque is Baitul Maqid. It was the name of the existing hall. The location of this mosque is convenient in the sense that the railway station and two of the major motorways of the city are just at a few minutes' distance. The total size of the site of the mosque is 1¾ acres. This was purchased in 1999. There was an existing hall of 265 square meters. In 2002, a separate hall was made for Lajna, for the ladies, of 112 square meters. Both these halls were being used as Salah centers. Above the hall is also accommodation for the missionary. Nonetheless, when I visited here in 2006, I said for a mosque to be built. In July 2012, actual construction for the mosque started. In August 2013, the mosque construction was complete. It is a two-story mosque. The mosque hall on the lower floor is for the Lajna, for the ladies, which is of 239 square meters. There is an audio-video room on the lower floor, as well as a conference room and facilities for ablution. The minara is also visible from outside, which the world would have seen through MTA. The minara is 18.5 meters tall, and the size of the dome is 8 meters. According to the conservative estimate of the council, the combined capacity of the two halls is 600. However, approximately 750 worshippers can pray in both halls. 300 people can offer prayers in the existing building. And as such, according to my estimate, there is capacity for 1,000 worshippers. There is parking capacity for 60 cars. There is also a langar khana, a catering kitchen, which has been made alongside, on which 350,000 New Zealand dollars was spent. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, and as I have mentioned, as is customary, members of the Jamaat make great financial sacrifices, striving to excel with one another. Women contributed their jewelry, children donated their pocket money. It is said that on two occasions during the construction, there were no funds in the Jamaat account. The contractors were due their payment. The National Amla, the auxiliary organizations, and various other members of the Jamaat immediately collected $100,000 and made the payment. Some members of the Jamaat, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, gave individual contributions of over $100,000. Others, in accordance with their capacities, gave sacrifices. The Jamaat here has been enabled to give extraordinary sacrifices. As I stated, it is a small Jamaat and there was huge expenditure. To all those who have made sacrifices, and those who could not make financial sacrifices but gave the sacrifice of their time and of a Qari Amal, may Allah the Almighty infuse immense blessings in their persons and in their wealth, and may Allah continuously increase them in their sincerity and dedication. May Allah enable for their progeny to always remain attached to Ahmadiyyat. May He increase them in faith and conviction. May they be those who fulfill the rite of the prayer. May they enter the mosque and fulfill the rite of the mosque. And may they be those who immerse their homes with the remembrance of Allah. May they be those who are filled with sentiments of fulfilling the rights of mankind. May they be those who pay attention to spreading the true message of Islam. As I stated, the Jalsa is being held in these days. So thus, during these days, maintain special attention towards prayers. Pray that Allah the Almighty brings about pious changes within us all, that to a greater degree than before, we come to possess the fear of Allah in our hearts. And then, that Allah the Almighty enables us to maintain these pious changes permanently in our lives. And that every single one of us becomes a recipient of the prayers that the promised Messiah alayhi salam made for the attendees of the Jalsa.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر